Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter number 6. I was joking around with Josh earlier. I said, Josh, I can't stand you, man. You're way too gifted at stuff. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of John, chapter number 6. Praise the Lord for that, brother. He plays guitar, he plays piano. What in the world, man? Give me a break. John, chapter number 6. Praise the Lord. And listen, folks, Daniel hit the nail on the head earlier. Whatever you have, whatever gift you have, use it for the Lord. John chapter number 6. Of course, we've been going through the book of Mark. So some of you are like, wait a second, are we Mark? Yes, we are. Okay, of course, last time we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000. But we wanted to take a kind of time out because this is really the message that Jesus preaches after the feeding of the 5,000. But it's more thorough in John chapter number 6. Let's stand once you're there. John chapter number 6 and verse number 25. John 6 and verse number 25, if we can. John 6, verse number 25. Do we have the slides? Okay, John 6, verse number 25. Here's what it says. And when they, that is the people that have been fed, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, that's Jesus, of course, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? How'd you get over to the side? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And then said they unto him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Verse 29 of John chapter 6. Jesus answered and said unto him, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. This is, of course, coming after feeding the 5,000. So they're saying, give us manna. We want some more. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth light unto the world. Verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And on the next slide, if we can, let's all read verse 35 together. Of course, we use King James here. If you don't have that, you can read it from the slides. Let's read together. Ready? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we consider Jesus the bread of life. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We are thankful for your word. Lord, I pray that you bless it. I pray that you use it. Lord, I come to you once again, as I have so many times before, Lord, asking for your help and your grace to speak to this, your people. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us, correct us, convict us, Father. Help us to change our perspective of you, the one that fulfills every soul. Lord, as we go into our communion time in just a moment, Lord, help us to remember how you were that and are the true bread that gives us life. Lord, I pray if anyone here has not received, Lord, that life that you give, the fullness of life that you want to give, Lord, I pray that they'd receive you today. Work in this service as only you can. We give it to you. May you receive the praise, honor, and glory for everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is an interesting passage, one of perhaps my favorite passages, and frankly, a sometimes misunderstood passage. Jesus here is going, and he's just fed the 5,000, no doubt a miraculous thing, as we looked at last week. 5,000 men plus women and children, maybe up to 12,000 people thereabouts, from 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And as he goes to the other side, the crowd comes to him. But rather than going and trusting in him as the Savior, they come to him with a very different attitude. We're going to look at three simple ideas. The first two are here from John 6. The third is going to tie into our communion service in just a moment. Let's first look at the responses to Jesus, the bread of life. In verses 26 through 33, we see a few different attitudes that this crowd had to Jesus. First off, we see the materialists. Look at verse number 26 if we can. Jesus goes and they say in verse 25, Rabbi or teacher, how'd you come over here? Of course, Jesus just walked on the water. We'll talk about that next week. But Jesus walked on the water. Teacher, how'd you come here? Verse number 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, catch it, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. What's the attitude of this first group? The first group is the materialists. Here's what I mean by that. They want to go and they want to follow God so long as it pleases them. They want to go and be with Jesus because they want another meal. They remember, if you can, from last week, they had gone all the way to the desert to hear Jesus speak, to go and to be with Jesus. But now they've had just a little taste of the world. And now that they've gotten it, they wonder what more Jesus can give. Jesus, I want a little more. Can I tell you, friends, I'm not opposed necessarily to having things materially. Obviously, that can be fine and good. But if we're not careful, our attitude toward God can be, God is a little genie that, gimme, 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 my name's Jimmy, or whatever. This attitude that, oh, if I just follow God, then I'll get what I want. You can turn on your TV and go to the religious station and you'll see any number of people that preach a God that's all interested in you being materially blessed. Can I tell you, friends, Amen. That's not the God we serve.
Amen.
That's not the God of the Bible. He goes and tells them specifically, look at verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. That is the things on the outside. All of these things that we have on the outside, they'll all get old. This suit, which I pretty much wear every Sunday. Yes, I know, you notice. This suit that I wear pretty much every Sunday, at some point it'll get old. Right? My body will get old. Okay? All these things will get old. This building will get old. Someone mentioned earlier, you've updated a lot of things. Yeah, we have, but this building will get old. Don't labor for those things. Labor for that which is eternal. Jesus telling them to focus on Him. Number one, the materialist. The materialist misses the satisfaction that's found in Jesus, the bread of life, because they're so focused on the externals. Number two, you have the legalist. Look at verse number 28. They then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Here's the idea, basically. They're saying, hey, Jesus, you just fed a bunch of people. What do I need to do to make that happen? What are the steps that I need to take to go and to do miracles like you do? They're going in kind of trying to equate it to something that they can create, something that they can do. The legalist, the materialist focuses on what God will give them. The legalist focuses on what they should do for God. Now, can I say, I'm all for serving the Lord. I'm all for doing those things. But we don't serve the Lord so God will be happy with us. We serve the Lord because God is happy with us. Mm-hmm. We don't use our talents for God so that God will be pleased with us. We use our talents for God because He saved us and because He loved us. If you get that mixed up, then you will go and be miserable, constantly trying to please a God that's already pleased with you. Here they are, and they're saying, what do we need to do to work the works of God? Look at Jesus' answer, verse 29. By the way, can I say this is where it starts for any of you that have struggled with this legalism in your life. Jesus answered and said unto them, catch it, this is the work of God. What? That ye believe on Him whom He has sent. Can I tell you, friends, if you've been trying to get yourself to heaven because of what you've done, because of you changing your life or cleaning things up or turning over a new leaf or trying a little harder, doing a little bit more, if you sit here today and you think, okay, God will be okay with me because I joined a church or I got baptized or I've done good things or I'm not as bad as my neighbor or what have you, can I tell you, friends, no, you're missing it. The one work that God wants you to do is believe on Him. Receive Jesus, friend. You're not saved by what you do. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. We're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. Number one, the materialists focus on what God will give them. Number two, the legalists focus on what they can give God. Number three, the sensationalists. In verse number 30, look at it. They said, therefore, unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them manna from heaven to eat. Now, let me remind you what just happened, okay? Can I remind you? They went into the desert, right? They followed Jesus all the way into the desert. You all with me, yes? From last week? Followed Jesus all the way into the desert. They stayed there. Jesus preaches longer than me. I'm still clinging to that. So they stayed there. Jesus preached all day long. And then they're getting hungry. Jesus goes. He takes 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish, break it up, gives it, feeds 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children. You all with me? Yes? Jesus, next day, goes to the other side of the sea. They run over it and they say, okay, Jesus, if you give us another sign, then we'll believe. Is that not what they just said? You all with me? Is that not what they just said? Verse 30. What sign will you do that we'll believe? Well, time out a second. Did you not already get your sign? I don't know about you. We're going to have a meal afterwards for Nancy downstairs. If we had one sandwich on the table, and I went and I said, okay, here we go. And I break the sandwich and I give it to all of you. You'd be like, dude, that's pretty impressive. You know, would you not? If I fed 12,000 people that way, that'd be more impressive. Am I making sense here? But here they are, and they're saying, hey, I want another sign. I've talked to a lot of people over the years, and they say, well, I'm not going to believe God until he shows me a sign. You know what I've found when I talk to people like that? I go and I talk to them a little bit more, because I'm curious, and, you know, whatever. Talk to them, and they talk about how God's protected them, how God's taken care of them, how God's met their needs, how God blessed them, how God's done this, that, and the other. But if God gives me a sign, then I'll believe. Can I tell you, friend? No, you won't. No, you won't. The sensationalist will never believe. Why? Because he always needs another sign. Jesus is standing right there. You with me? Believe, receive Jesus. It's not about another sign. It's not about a bigger sign. Jesus just gave the greatest sign. And yet they still don't believe. Is that not what it's saying, folks? Jesus just gave exactly what they needed. Verse number 32, Jesus reminds them of something. Look at it, verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, or hey, this is the truth. Truthfully, truthfully is what verily, verily means. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but catch it, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. What's he saying? He's saying, you want a sign? There's something greater than manna here, friends. There's something greater than feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. There's something greater here, and it's me. Don't miss me. Can I tell you, friends, if you're a materialist, you've been focused on all the externals, you think, okay, I'll please God if he blesses me with this. What will God give me? If God gives me enough, then I'll trust him. No, 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 friend, you're missing it. Receive Jesus. If you're the legalist, oh, I need to do these things. I need to measure up. And if I measure up, then I'll trust. Then God will accept me. No, 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 friend. It's not about you. It's about believing and receiving him. If you're the sensationalist, oh, God needs to do something miraculous. And if that happens, then I'll believe. No, friend, you're missing it. You're missing it. Number four here, you have the faddist. Okay, now that showed up in the dictionary, so I know it's a word. Okay? Had to end in "ist" because I don't know, I have problems. The faddist, it's a person that follows what other people think. Look at the next verse if we can. Verse number 34, look at it. They then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. So what were they saying? Jesus saying, hey, the true bread comes down from God the Father. Lord, evermore give us the bread. But look, things change a little bit. Look at verse number 41, can we? Verse number 41. The Jews then murmured at him. Because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look down a little bit further, verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know what the faddist does? Here's what the faddist does. Not the fattest, okay? Fattest. Here's what the person that follows the fads does. What will everyone else do? I've done a lot of youth rallies and things, done all those different things. I've done a lot of invitations, both here and in other places. And you know what I see a lot of times? Invitation. I'll see someone and they're obviously being convicted and things like that. And you have the invitation and they go like this. Right? They go and they look at their friend, they look at their spouse, they look at what someone else is. If they respond, then I'll respond. I remember one time I was doing, I believe it was a youth rally, this was years ago when I was doing a lot more of those. And someone came up to me after a message and they said, well, I was really going to come up, but you know, my friend, you know, he really needed that. And I didn't really, you know, do that. And I didn't, you know what I find a lot of times? No one moves because everyone's waiting for someone else to move. Right? No one ever gets right with God because they're waiting for someone else to get right. Can I say, friends, don't focus on what everyone else will do. If you need to get something settled in your Christian life, you need to get it settled in your Christian life. It doesn't matter about that. You with me, friends? One day, John Utley will stand before God, and John Utley will give account for John Utley. You with me, folks? John Utley will not give account of what Becky did. Oh, well, you know, I didn't serve God because I was married to Becky. Love you, girl. Trust me, I do love her. Am I making sense? That won't happen. But I will give account for me. Don't follow the trends, friends. Don't follow the crowd. Because here's the reality. We don't know what the crowds will do. Have you seen our nation? Things have changed a lot in 5, 10, 15 years. Yeah? Right? It's not as popular to be a Christian anymore. I used to be a youth pastor, and when I was back youth pastor, I'd tell people I was a youth pastor, and they were like, oh, that's awesome. You know, what church do you go? Now I tell people I'm a pastor, and they're like, oh. Right? You all with me, folks? Don't follow the fad. If you follow the fad, can I say, you won't follow God. You're following the crowd. You're not following Jesus. The materialist, the legalist, the sensationist, the faddest. Number 5, the loyalist. Everyone else leaves, right? All the other disciples leave. Look at verse 67 and 68. This is what we should be. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? I love Simon Peter. I've said that a lot. Simon sometimes can be really stupid, but when he has a nugget, he's pretty good. Verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Can I tell you, friends, it's not about what everyone else can do. It's not about what God can do for you. It's not about all those things. It's about you going and believing what Jesus says. You all with me, folks? Salvation is you receiving Jesus as Savior. If you're not saved, if you haven't received Jesus, respond properly to the bread of life. He is what you need for your soul. Number one, responses to the bread. Okay, that was all the first point. Okay, don't worry. It'll go faster from here. I still don't preach as long as Jesus. Okay? Remind me. Number 2, the reality of the bread. The reality of the bread. Jesus goes, and in some of those verses we kind of skipped over a little bit. Jesus goes and explains what he is. Okay? Now, think about this and consider this. Okay? Keep our minds open as we look at this. Number 1, Jesus satisfies. Look at verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. We read it together. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe me. What's the idea here? Here's the idea Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that he can and will satisfy those that come to him and those that believe on him. Here's the reality in our lives, though. Be honest with me, okay? Be honest with me. Be honest with the Lord. How many of you sometimes in your spiritual life do not feel satisfied like you should? Yes? Talk to me. Honestly? Truth? Right? Sometimes you go and you don't really feel like, okay, yeah, my walk with God is where it needs to be. Yeah? Yeah, you there? Why is that? If Jesus promised that he that comes to me shall never hunger, he that believes on me shall never thirst, and obviously he's not talking about never being hungry because, amen, I get hungry all the time. Okay? So he's not talking about that. So what's he talking about? Here's the picture. If you're hungry for something in your life, it's because you're not coming to him. Y'all with me, folks? If in your life you go and you have a hunger that you just feel like you can't fill, remember what we just talked about, yeah? If in your life you have a hunger that you just can't fill, you know what it probably means? It probably means you're approaching the bread of life the wrong way. Y'all with me? You're approaching it materialistically. God, what can you give me? Can I tell you, material wealth will never satisfy. It will never satisfy. John D. Rockefeller, one of the richest people that have ever lived, he went, and one time a reporter came up to him. He literally, in modern day, billions of dollars in the bank, okay? He owned a monopoly of pretty much everything, all energy, pretty much. Someone came up to him, a reporter, and said, how much money would make you happy? He said, one more dollar. Why? When he got that dollar, guess what? It'd be another dollar. Because that'll never satisfy. And if you find in your life a hole that you never satisfy, if you go and you serve and you serve and you serve and you feel like you're never satisfied, you know why? Maybe it's because you're trusting in that. Can I tell you, you will never be satisfied trusting in what you can do for God. Because no matter what, Jesus himself said, after you've done all, you're still unprofitable. You can never measure up to the debt that God paid for you. But if you go and you trust him, you rely on him, you look to him, you depend on him, you come to him. Can I tell you, friend, Jesus satisfies. That's right. Jesus satisfies. Have you been there too? Where you find the satisfaction that comes in serving Jesus? Jesus satisfies. If you're sitting here and you're not satisfied with your walk with God, can I tell you, based on the promise of Jesus Christ, who doesn't lie, there's a problem there because you're not approaching Jesus properly. Either you haven't received him personally by faith and salvation, or you're not going and believing and coming to him in your daily life in some way. Jesus satisfies. Number two, let's look at this. Jesus satisfies. Number two, Jesus secures. Verse 37 through 39, look at it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it again at the last day. The idea here, nice and simply, is God never rejects. If someone comes to Jesus, then can I say, Jesus will receive them. Isn't that good news? No matter where you are, if you come to the Lord, if God is drawing you to him, then can I say, he'll receive you. Isn't that great? Listen, folks, we've had some people that have been saved that have some pretty messed up stuff. Y'all with me, friends? But that doesn't matter because God never rejects us. He loves us. He will accept you. He never rejects. Number two, he never ejects. Not only does God never reject somebody, but God never casts somebody out after he's received them. You know what that tells me? That once I got saved, then there's not this in my heart, this, oh man, I hope I keep measuring up, because if I don't, God will boot me. Right? Now, let me explain it this way. When I was growing up, as a child in my house, I was never afraid that my parents would kick me out of the house and disown me. Why? Because my mom and dad loved me. If you didn't grow up that way, I'm sorry. But how much more God, the Heavenly Father, loves us and cares for us. He never rejects us. If God is calling you to him, then friend, he will receive you. Trust. Believe. Come. But he never rejects. To him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Number three, he never neglects. God is not up in heaven ignoring his children. God loves and cares for every one of us. God is paying attention to us. He loves us. He will meet our needs that he should lose nothing, verse 39 says. Jesus satisfies. Number two, Jesus secures. Number three, Jesus saves. Verse number 40, we sing the song, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Can I tell you, friends, just because you've sang it a lot doesn't mean it ain't true. Jesus still saves. Look at verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me. God the Father is what he is, who he's talking about. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The idea here is that the one that we have access to eternal life. If you believe and receive Jesus Christ, number one, you have access to eternal life. Number two, you have the availability of eternal life. When you have access, then here's what God says. God says, Jesus speaking here, I will raise him up in the last day. We've looked at the responses to the bread of life. Number two, we've looked at the reality of the bread of life. Number three, let's consider, and we're going to go into communion at this point in just a moment, remembering the bread of life. See, I'm not naive enough to think that, you know, everyone I'm speaking to, not a majority of you have not received the Lord. I probably believe the majority of you have. Can't look at your heart. I don't know. If you haven't, you should receive them. But the reality of our lives is that sometimes we don't live in light of Jesus being the bread of life. Is that not true? Sometimes in our lives, we don't live the right way. So God set up something to remind us. You know what it is. It's communion, right? It's Lord's Supper. It's the Lord's table. Let me be very clear on a few things. Communion doesn't save you, right? The Bible is very clear. Jesus was very clear in this passage. You have to believe and you have to receive. That's what saves you. You come to him. If you come to him and God is drawing you, then he will save you. So it's not a matter of taking part in this. If you are taking part in this, believing that this will somehow make you more saved or get you saved or get you on the right road, can I tell you, friends, that is a lie from the pit of hell. You are not saved by what you do. You're saved by what he did. You're with me, folks. But this is something to remind us that Jesus satisfies our soul. It's a picture. It's an illustration. It's something that reminds us, that helps us to remember. Take your Bible, turn over to Luke 22. Real briefly, we won't spend a lot of time here. Luke chapter number 22. I know you're smelling the food. They left the door open down there. Hell yeah. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 15 through 20. We're going to, in the narrative, we're fast forwarding a good bit of time. Jesus is in the upper room. He's about to give his life. He's about to give his life. He said earlier that he was going to lay down his life. Here he's going to actually do it. Luke 22, verse 15, he says this. Verse number 14, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. He said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup, gave thanks, said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Took bread, gave thanks, break it, gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you. What's the purpose of what we're about to do? As I mentioned before, it's not to save us. It's not to make us more saved. That's only by receiving Jesus personally. This is a picture. The purpose is, number one, to remind us of his suffering for us. You see, Jesus could never satisfy anyone if he didn't first satisfy the punishment for sin. Jesus couldn't satisfy the need of your heart if he didn't first pay your penalty. Amen. The reality is that what we're going to do in just a moment is a reminder. It's a memorial, if you will, to help us remember that we have full satisfaction. We have abundant life because Jesus gave up his life. It's a reminder of his suffering. Number two, can I say, it's a reminder of Jesus' supremacy. Look at verse number 16 and verse number 18. When I stop, you read the next phrase, okay? Verse number 16. For I say to you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the what? Kingdom of God. Good. Look at verse number 18. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until what? The kingdom of God shall come. Can I tell you, friends, this is not a sad time. You with me? Jesus isn't still on the cross. He's not still in the tomb. Where is he? He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God. He's daily making intercession for us. This is a time to remind ourselves that not only was Jesus the bread of life when you got saved, Jesus is the bread of life right now. He's everything you need.
You can go to him in prayer and you will find that he satisfies you just as much as when you went to him the first time and received him. He is everything we need, friends. It's a reminder of suffering. It's a reminder of his supremacy, where he is. He's right hand of the throne of God on high. He is the king that will one day rule the nations. Number three, it's a reminder of his substitution. Verse number 19 and 20. In both of those passages, this is my body, verse 19, which is given for you. Verse number 20, this cup is a New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. The reality, friends, if I haven't made it abundantly clear already, is that Jesus was the substitute for you. Amen. Jesus suffered so you don't have to. The picture here is of a lamb back in Bible times, and that lamb would be killed, would be slaughtered, the blood would be taken, and the blood would be put on the mercy seat, the body would be burnt, and the picture was always that this lamb died so we didn't have to. Can I tell you, friends, Jesus died so you don't have to. Amen. Jesus gave his life so you and I can have life. Amen. The purpose, number two, the picture, very simply, and in just a moment we'll have the men come and we'll take part. Very simply, the picture is two things. It's two parts. Number one is broken body. That's the bread. Little cracker, little piece, but it's a picture. It's a picture of Jesus giving his life for us. Jesus giving his body, that body that God prepared for his son, specifically for the purpose of dying for us. And then number two, it's a picture of his blood. By the way, it's a picture. It's not real. Okay? We're not taking part of some cannibal thing, okay? It's a picture. It's something to remember what Jesus did for us. In just a moment, we'll partake of communion. As I said before, communion does not save. If you haven't received Christ personally by faith, you can receive him today. It's simple. It's easy. It's not joining this church or any other. It's not turning over a new leaf, trying harder. It's receiving Jesus, the one that died for you. Friend, you can do that right now in your seat, where you're sitting. You don't have to come forward. You don't have to talk to anybody. If you'd like to, I would love to talk to you. But you could get it settled right now. You could just go to the Lord, be honest with him, say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I can't save myself, and I know it. And I'm trusting you. You got to do this thing. I'm trusting that you died for me. You were buried. You rose again. You are my Savior. I'm putting my trust in you. And if you do that, friend, you can and will be saved. For those of us, Christians, that are living our lives trying to satisfy ourselves with everything but Jesus, you know what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, it says that we can go and we can live our lives that way, and if we take part in this communion acting like God is enough, when we live like God isn't enough, then God will judge us for that. We as Christians need to be honest before the Lord and assess where we need to change. So in just a moment, Becky's going to come to the piano. As the men come, if we can, Becky's going to come to the piano, play for just a bit. Let's all examine our hearts, can we? Let's be honest with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm not having a come forward invitation, obviously. The difference of this service. Can I tell you, friend, if God dealt with you about something specific, then you need to deal with it specifically with God. If you don't know for sure you're a child of God right now, call out to him and receive him. If you in your life are trying to satisfy yourself with things other than Jesus, then be honest with that with God. Don't put upon yourself God's judgment by you ignoring his speaking to you. Friend, Jesus is enough. Right now, as Becky plays, seek the Lord, correct what needs to be corrected, change what needs to be changed. In just a moment, I'll pray, thank the Lord for his body that was broken for us, and we'll pass everything out. When we pass everything out, just keep a hold of it for just a moment, and then we'll partake together. Friend, right now, be honest with God and correct what needs to be corrected. Thank you. Given for us and for his fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives.
Lord God, we thank this time and give this to your house, Lord, for the mess we heard. Lord, I pray that you remember this time, Lord, of the sacrifice you made for us. Lord, we're such undeserving people, Lord, that you went to the cross and paid the sin debt that none of us could pay. Lord, we do thank you for that. Lord, we pray to bless this offering this morning, Lord. Pray to bless it. Thank you so much for all that you've done for us. For Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Men will now take the bread and pass it around. Let me encourage you, if you're a child of God, if you're following the Lord, and as best you know, your heart is clean before the Lord, you can partake. If you're not a member of this church, that's perfectly fine. Okay, you're a member of God's family, and we will allow you to partake, obviously, because the Lord will allow you. Okay. So please take one. And then pass it around, hold it for a moment, and we'll partake together. Verse 19 says this, "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In remembrance of him. Next, we will partake of the cup. The cup is a picture of the blood that Jesus shed for us. As we sang earlier in the service, it's still the blood that saves from sin. Without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission of sins. We are thankful for the blood that Jesus shed for us. Brother Daniel, if you can, please come. Thank the Lord for the blood that he shed for us. Thank you.
Lord God, we come to your holy name in prayer and thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that paid the penalty for my sins, Lord, not just my sins, all that call upon you for salvation, Lord. I thank you for the sacrifice, for the willingness to sacrifice for unworthy souls like me and the other saved, Lord. And I just want to thank you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Verse 20, Bible says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. It's to in remembrance of him. God's word says in the book of Matthew that when they had sung a hymn, they went out. And so we are going to sing a hymn as well.